Some of us were invited here. Some of us were forced into being here. Others of us voluntarily showed up. Others of us, as the scripture says, were glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so there's all kinds of representation in the room today. Only God knows why you're here today. But I can tell you, no matter what your plan was for being here today, that God has a specific plan for you and a specific purpose for you. And it's no secret, today's December the 24th. This is the Christmas season. And God sometimes has a way of helping those of us who forget about him to be reminded of him a couple of times a year. And so we're celebrating all that today, but I want to talk to you a little bit from the Word of God today. And I want to go to just a couple of different portions of Scripture. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 2. This is the story of the birth of the Christ, and I understand that that's what we're celebrating here today, but I don't really want to talk about that necessarily. I want to talk to you about the events that surrounded the birth of Jesus, because we spend a lot of time celebrating that, and rightfully so. It's an incredible thing, but it wasn't a one-time event. You know, it's like some folks get caught up in the crucifixion, and they focus, their focal point with laser focus becomes the crucifixion of Christ. And while that was good and while it represented something, they forget that there was a grave. And that when they buried him, there wasn't just a grave, but there was a resurrection that came out of that grave. And so we celebrate not just the crucifixion and what it means to us, the somberness of all that, but we also celebrate his resurrection and what that means in the new life that it brings to us. And so this morning, as I was praying and waiting on the Lord about this day, I began to think about these events, the events that surrounded the birth of Jesus. We sometimes go to the scripture and everybody likes Luke chapter 2 and everybody likes to read Matthew chapter 2, but there's some things that are intertwined throughout these stories that I believe became a roadmap that he was showing us. They were laying out the basis for what was going to be the church, for how we were supposed to live, for what we were supposed to involve ourselves in. And so when you go to Luke chapter 2, if you jump back one chapter to Luke chapter 1, I've just got some scriptures here that I've highlighted that we're going to look at here, starting in Luke chapter 1. And let's go to verse 3. I think it's very interesting that Luke writes this, and he says, it seemed good to me. Now, I'm in the KJV just so you can follow along. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Luke starts his writings by laying out that he has an understanding of some things. There's some things that have been imparted to him by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to do his best to impart them to us. And so we jump ahead to this first part of chapter 1 here, and we pick up the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. The scripture says in Luke chapter 1, verse 7, I'm sorry guys, I'm going to jump around in here, so you just have to try to keep up. The scripture says that they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And jumping ahead to verse 11, and we're just going to hit the high points of the story here. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This man was a priest. He was a spiritual man. And God began to work the miraculous in his life. When you begin to look at the Gospels and you know, it started with the birth of Jesus and then his development of 33 and a half years and then his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. And you begin to follow that chronological order through and everything that transpired. And he began to create even in that a roadmap for us. And he even said to his disciples and his followers that these things and greater shall ye do. His desire was that the miraculous, the things that he exampled for us on this earth in his earthly ministry would be the things that were a part of his everyday life would be a part of our everyday life. And so verse 11 tells us that there appears unto this priest, Zacharias, an angel of the Lord, and begins to talk to him about what's going to happen. And he says in verse 13 that, "Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." These are the stories that are intertwined around the thing that we like to focus on. The miraculous that begin to happen. The foundation that the Holy Ghost was building for what was going to come in the future. Jumping ahead to verse 18, "Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent." Everybody say, he was sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. This is how the New Testament kicks off. This is how the beginning of the Gospels is introduced to us. We have supernatural experiences. We have angels appearing unto spiritual people and bringing prophecy to them, telling them, foretelling of things that were to come. Supernatural. You know, we don't talk a lot about angels today. People start talking about angels, and some people get, you know, they get creepy or creeped out or weird, and oh, he's out there in La La Land. He lives in the celestial. And you probably watch too much Star Wars or Star Trek. But we begin to read these stories in the Gospels of angelic encounters. Angels dispatched by God to men, normal people, just like you and I, who are living about normal lives, dispatched to minister to them, to bring supernatural happenings to their lives. Let's jump ahead a few more verses. Verse 26 says, chapter 1, verse 26 of Luke, still there, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Here we are, another angelic dispatch by the Holy Ghost. Verse 27 says that he was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now we jump ahead into the 40s, and we're going to jump straight to verse 41. We know that Mary says, "Be unto me according to your word." But now she visits the home of Elizabeth, whose husband Zacharias had the first angelic experience that we speak about, that we read about. In verse 41 it says, "And it came to pass," well, let's read verse 48, "and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Whatever she said, "Hello." She said, "It's Mary. Elizabeth, are you home?" Knock, knock, ding, dong, whatever she said. But the scripture says in verse 41 that when Elizabeth heard the greetings or the salutations of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about supernatural happenings here. We sometimes we get so caught up in the picture that's painted, and they're so beautiful. We had somebody brought a nativity at the Christmas banquet, if you were here, and there was a beautiful nativity set there, and I noticed when I came in this morning from the prayer room that there was a beautiful color nativity up on the screen, and we get that picture so painted in our minds of that great night and the birth of Jesus, but when you start to look at these situations and these happenings that surrounded that, supernatural things. A woman walks in who's had a visitation from an angel. She has contact and gives a greeting to another woman and her husband who had a salutation of an angel. And suddenly the babe that the angel prophesied who's in Elizabeth's womb, the scripture says he leaps. Yeah. and so much that she felt it, and the Holy Ghost came upon Elizabeth, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost, according to the scripture. These are supernatural happenings. We know that the Holy Ghost wasn't poured out until Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Verse 42 says, she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? My goodness. The revelation that was prevailing in Elizabeth. Mary hadn't even said anything but a greeting. Mary didn't say, hey, hello, Elizabeth. The scripture doesn't tell us that she said, I've got the Christ in my womb. What's in yours? But there was revelation. There was unction that was evident inside Elizabeth. And she knew by what was transpiring in her. My goodness, what would happen if you became so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of the power of God, that by just your greeting and your speaking to someone, that revelation could come to them, that the Holy Ghost would come upon them? You say, oh, but that was Mary. Here we go back into our great big idea that we create. That was the Virgin. That was Mary. I'm Nick. I'm Kaylee. We're just normal folk. The same Spirit that resided, that robed himself in flesh and resided inside Mary and poured out his Spirit in Acts chapter 2, that same Spirit resides in me. And so why wouldn't it be any different that when I come into the company of people and I begin to speak as the unction of the Holy Ghost gives way, that the same type of revelation wouldn't come? The same type of understanding wouldn't be imparted. So Mary knows from verse 43, this is the Messiah. This is her Lord. Her Elizabeth knows that this is her Lord. Wow. Jumping ahead a few more. Read verse 66. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. This is speaking of John. This is after John's birth. Verse 67 says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. My goodness. I mean, just in case you forgot, we're in Luke. We're not yet to Acts 2. Remember a couple weeks ago during the baby dedication? I know I referenced it last week too, but I can't get over the stories of Simeon and Anna. Two peculiar folks who got to participate in the supernatural. Who got to walk into the temple and be a part of what God was doing in the earth during that time. We don't know anything about them. We don't understand anything about them other than that Scripture gives us some insight into their age and that they had been praying and asking of God that he would allow them to see the Messiah. And he gave them the desire of their heart and caused it to happen. But we're starting to see these small pockets of individuals who got to experience the supernatural for themselves. So here we are with Zacharias. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Hold on to your seat and put your seatbelt on. Jesus wasn't even born yet. This is after the birth of his son. We can keep going if you want to. I won't read all of chapter 2, but there's something interesting that happens. Hadley quoted it for us a few minutes ago. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. If you start reading this, you start seeing from the beginning to end that there's all these angelic visitations. Where are they now? Where are the angelic visitations today? Are we looking for them? Or are we so busy discounting those who say they have them that we wouldn't possibly believe it if it even happened? Or they'd have to slap us upside with the head with a flaming sword of fire to let us know that it's actually them. You know, people have told stories about encounters with angels, or what they called angels, what they believed to be angels. They've told of those encounters and testified of them, and we praise the Lord. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, yes, bless him, Lord. Oh, and help him get back on his meds. Right? You're not quite sure. But yet you read the scripture and you see all of these encounters between these chosen folks of God and these angels. So the shepherds in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. It shall be to all people. Unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then you keep reading in chapter 2, and they took him to the temple, Simeon, Anna, and all of that. Now, the thing that's interesting in chapter 2, by the time you get to verse 41, it kind of skips a whole bunch of stuff. And so I want to take you back to Matthew. Because these angelic encounters and all this supernatural stuff continued for a while. We didn't even read about when Mary told Joseph, who she was engaged to, that she was with child and she was going to give birth, and the angel of the Lord had to visit him. We didn't read about that. But go back to Matthew chapter 2. And if you read down, Matthew tells a different story. He begins to talk to us about these guys they call the wise men or the magi. And when you get down to verse 12, it says verse 11 says they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream, they departed into their own country, another way. This dream and this direction of the Holy Ghost came to them because of an encounter they had with the king. I told some of you a story a couple weeks ago. Someone who attends a church in this town, not an apostolic church, asked my wife a point-blank question. She said, "Do you believe that God can talk to you through dreams and visions?" I'm telling you that there is a hunger within people in this world today. They want the supernatural. What God did in the beginning, what he began to relay to us through the Gospels, was not a singular event that we were just supposed to celebrate one time a year. But what he began to show us through this was how he wanted to interact with his people day in and day out. And if they would let him, he would orchestrate their lives. We use the term, "Oh Lord, order my steps in your word." But do we really mean that to the place where he can interrupt our plans with a dream and say, "Hey, I know you want to go that way, but I want you to go this way"? That's what I'm talking about today. Supernatural interruptions. And when they were departed in verse 13, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now he gets his second encounter, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." We know the circumstances surrounding this encounter. Fast forward a little bit, verse 19. Here we are years down the road, months down the road. Matthew 2:19, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt." I could go on all morning in the Gospels. We don't have time today to go through all the encounters that were weaved throughout this one story that we like to focus on. And an important story it is. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is wanting to take us somewhere further. He's wanting to take us to a place of operation and living in the supernatural. And those who are willing to sell out to it. We made mention of the words of Mary last Sunday, be it unto me according to your word. Those who are willing to yield themselves to the process and say, Lord, I want to operate in your system. One man of God that I know, he uses the term God's government. I like that term, God's government. The scripture was already quoted today concerning the prophecy Isaiah that his government shall, the government shall be upon his shoulder. I'm thankful for God's government today. I'm thankful for God's system that he allows men to participate in who are hungry and desire to. You see, if you want, you can participate in man's system and you can wander around and you can think that you're just a wise guy on a camel with a gift. Or you can be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and say, that wasn't too much pizza last night, but the Holy Ghost is talking to me. He's got new direction. He's got new word. He's got fresh anointing for me, and I'm going to find out what it is he wants. I'm coming to a close if the musicians want to come. Let's talk about the church now. All these angelic encounters, they were just the foundation. Go read the book of Acts. Angelic encounters with the first church all throughout that book. Angels leading men out of prison. Angels visiting prayer meetings. And when they had prayed in Acts 4, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Manifestations of the power of God. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The Lord confirmed his word with signs following. Philip led to the desert. Comes upon a man in a chariot reading. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I? Unless someone... Do you think that was an accident? Do you think that was just by chance that Philip was wandering through the desert with nowhere to go? No, the Holy Ghost dispatched him and brought together a connection. We can choose to live life status quo. I want to tell you today, for too long I've listened to everyone else's stories. I am so tired of hearing about this one's encounter and that one's encounter and this God moment and that God moment and this God intervention and this God connection, this God that, and God this, and God that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing about him. I want to experience it. And I want to say, man, we were in a prayer meeting the other night and the power of God moved. It just wasn't an ordinary prayer meeting, but the power of God moved in. You could feel angels come into the room. Man, we were at a home fellowship group the other night. And somebody told us that they were sick in their body. And we began to pray together there. And the Holy Ghost moved into that front room. And we had just finished eating some chicken wings and Doritos. But God swept down and miraculously healed them. That's what I want to experience. That was his intention. Paul said to the church at Corinth, now all these things, he was reaching back to the Old Testament. He was reaching back to the children of Israel and their experience of the sea and the pillar and the cloud and the rock with the water coming out. He said, all these things were given unto us for examples. They were written unto us for examples. They were given unto us for our learning. These aren't just history books. These weren't just good stories that I can read to my children at night when I'm trying to get them to go to sleep. But this is what he desires to do among the church on a daily basis. This is how he wants to operate in the lives of believers 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's what he wants. It just takes me being available and ready and willing to operate in it. I don't know about you, but I want it. If that's your desire today, would you stand to your feet and lift your hands towards heaven and tell him that, Jesus, I want a manifestation of your power in my life. I desire the supernatural. The supernatural, Jesus.
Jesus' name. Why don't you get on a stand?